It's Open Call with Eric and Chris.
That's me.
It's a show that you'll never want to miss. It's Open Call.
It's Open Call. I'm Chris Grace. It's Monday, March 18th, 2019. And Eric is still in Australia, but he will be back in 5 days, which I'm very excited about. But he actually sent along another from Australia dispatch, which we'll be listening to in just a moment. But I wanted to first talk to you about the show that I saw last week, which is... Cats. Cats, now and forever. Cats. I would imagine most of you have seen Cats. And this is the tour based on the revival, which is from, what, 2 or 3 years ago? I would say that if... Well, here's the problem with recommending that you go see Cats. Because I do think that you should see it if you haven't seen it. And I saw it a long time ago when I was a child. It must have been first or second national tour in Houston, Texas. I saw it, I think, at the, like, Hobby Center or something like that. And I bought the cassette, listened to it a lot, brought back a lot of memories to see it. Many, many parts of the show that I did not remember. And I think it's worth seeing. Here's the problem with recommending it is I think it's worth seeing if you could see it for like $30, you know. However, I was like, well, you know, so I think I said this like last week that Eric's entire Australia engagement overlaps all of the Cats run here in Los Angeles. Actually, I was wrong. It's running for 2 more days after he gets back. So technically, we could both go see it again. And I probably would go see it again. But in my mind, I was like, oh, I'll just go on Gold Star and we could see it again for, you know, $30 or something like that. If you go on Gold Star, the tickets are like $68 still. That's the discounted Gold Star price. Like, people are wanting to go to see this thing. So that makes me a little more reserved in saying that you should go see it. If you've got a friend with an extra ticket, why not? You know, I recommended that people go see Love Never Dies by Andrew Lloyd Webber. So it's a little bit of a conundrum because I think it's such a strange show. If you haven't seen it, it's a bunch of cats singing about which of them gets to go to heaven. Not sure why they're competing to die early. But basically all showcasing themselves in a sort of pop star singing contest. And then it's over and one of them goes to heaven. That's pretty much the plot of the show. There's just lots of strange things to it. And I would say the most beguiling part of the entire show was near the end of the first act. This older cat named Old Deuteronomy shows up, and he's basically the Simon Cowell of this competition. He shows up, they sing a song about him. It's a very pretty song, about Old Deuteronomy. And then they do what felt to me like a 17-minute long dance number, but it was maybe 6. I really don't know. I almost want to like time it. In fact, maybe I'll watch there's a Cats movie. Maybe I'll watch that just to see how long this part of it is, where there is no dialogue. There's no singing. It's just them dancing, but not in a particularly narrative way. And they basically dance to what was like the overture of the show one more time. It was really weird. And then they all leave and one of the cats sings a song that you're all familiar with from Cats. She starts to sing it, and then she walks off, and that's the end of the act one, and that's the intermission. Very strange. But the beguiling part of it was that during this long dance piece, I genuinely thought, okay, there's lots of times during Cats where you think, what is going on? And that question can mean a lot of things. What is happening in the plot? But also, what's going on in this theater? What's happening with this whole theatrical experience? What's happening with theater in general, that this is one of the most successful plays of all time? What is going on, right? That question occurs to you many, many times during a show like this. But specifically during this dance part, I was like, what is going on with how this audience is taking it? Because the crowd was dead silent to the point that I thought, man, people are really having that experience of like, people have been talking about Cats my whole life and how great it is, and now I come to see it and this is what it is. What is the point of this? And this is all happening in my head while this dance portion of the show is happening. Then it ends, and it got one of the biggest applause breaks I've heard ever. And I was just stunned. I was like, man, that went over really well. I have no idea why. But that to me was a little bit of a key of like, well, that makes sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. I didn't feel like applauding. I, you know, it was fine, but I wasn't like, God, I haven't seen anything like this. I mean, I guess I haven't, but you know what I mean? I wasn't like inspired to applaud, let's say. But the strength of the response to me was kind of like, well, that's a clue as to why the show's so popular. People love seeing this. Like when it was over, especially because in the second act, there's two great numbers, which is one is Mr. Mistopheles, which is just really fun. And two was Memory. And the woman singing Memory in this cast was incredible. The cast overall was really good. There was one cast member that I thought had a very particularly like important part that I just didn't think was that great. But generally, the cast was really good. But the woman who sang Memory was incredible. Her voice was like gave me chills when she went for the final number. And those two numbers, especially sort of Mistopheles going right into Memory, you know, it kind of makes you like realize why it's so popular. And also at the end of the show, like I didn't feel anyone really being ironically like, oh, I like this, or not ironically. A lot of times I think we think about Cats. Like I've even heard people asking me when I said that I went to see Cats, like, well, maybe people are just liking it cause they've heard all their friends like it, or they'd like it just cause they paid money to see it. You know, that kind of viewing it a little bit cynically. And the response to that show at the Pendages on Tuesday was not a cynical response. It didn't feel driven by anything except that like, they just loved the show. Got it. Obviously. I mean, every show that Pendages gets a standing ovation, but it didn't feel calculated in any way. So, I mean, I was like, well, I mean, you know, it made me love it when I was a kid. I listened to that tape a lot. And maybe people appreciate having a show. Someone did mention to me, and this might make sense to me, is that like, it is a show you can bring your kids to because it's not a very complicated plot. There's not a lot going on. There's no real nuances of like subtleties of interactions between characters that you have to understand. It's just a bunch of songs and then one of them wins and you know, that's it. I will say some of the choreography was a little bit sexual, particularly the Rum Tum Tugger had at least two female cats go into very suggestive positions in front of him, which I didn't understand or condone. So that's Cats. I'm sure it's coming to a theater near you. I was told after talking to Eric that one of the offensive numbers was cut because there were some Siamese cats in a thing called Growl Tiger, which I must have seen when I was a kid, but that was not in the show that I saw this time. Basically, Gus the Theater Cat does a little play within a play, and it was about some fight between dogs or something, all the dogs in the park. I think that he was saying that originally the Growl Tiger was the play within a play. That was not in the show. So I think it's been cut. Anyway, it's fine. You know, if you can find a good cheap ticket, go see it. So now let's hear Eric's dispatch from Australia, which I haven't heard yet. I'm going to listen to it just as you're listening to it as well. And here we go.
Hello, Open Call. It is Eric reporting from Adelaide Fringe here in Adelaide, Australia. So the last time I spoke with you all, I was really, really sick and had been in the hospital and was at that point out of the show. My understudy had been going on. So I wanted to give you an update on that and also tell you a little bit about what Fringe has been like here, how our show is going, and also kind of some of the things that I've seen here. So to begin with, as I had mentioned, I had been in the hospital and was rushed there via ambulance and thought I was dying, but it turns out I was just really dehydrated and super exhausted. The first week getting here was pretty crazy. Between the 15-hour flight, we all missed our connecting flight, so we had a 5-hour layover in the middle of it, and it was just a real hectic couple of days getting the show up on its feet and loaded in here. So I was really kind of worn out and didn't really realize how exhausted I was until I tried to do the show and then almost fell down. But the good news is I went back into the show that Friday evening and have been back in since then. The show's going very, very well. Our audiences are really super receptive and having a great time. It's such a fun show to do anyway. Like, the script is so good and the songs are so good that even if you don't really know Game of Thrones, you can still have a good time and enjoy it. But thankfully, we've had a lot of really great audiences here who are super on board with us and get the jokes and understand the show and are having a really fun time with it. So it's been really, as always, it's been a joy to do the show. We actually had a cast change happen earlier this week. Our original Jon Snow had to leave town a little bit early because he has a television show that is going to be premiering in the States, and he had to get back for the premiere. I know we're very fancy. So our assistant director or co-director, Nathan Jansen, has stepped into the role, which has been an interesting shift, and it's a very different take on the role, but still really fun and super funny. So yeah, it was a rough like opening week for me, but thankfully, like I said, I'm back in and things are good. As far as Fringe in general goes, it's an interesting Fringe. Something that's different about this particular Fringe than the others that I've performed in, which would be Edinburgh, Scotland, and the Orlando Fringe in Florida, is a lot of the events of Fringe and a lot of the shows at Fringe don't really start here until after 5 p.m. So a lot of times during the day, there's not a lot to do as far as being able to see things. That also tends to present a lot of scheduling conflicts where, you know, our call is at 8:45 and then our show's at 9:30. And by the time we come down, it's 11 and pretty much everything's done by then. So it's been difficult to try to schedule being able to see other things simply because they conflict with our schedule. Plus we've had different press events and things that we've had to do, going out and flyering for our shows to try to drum up business and advertise and let people know that we're here and what we're about. So I haven't really been able to see as much as I would have liked to, but I'll give you the highlights of what I've seen. The first show that I saw was, it was called Rebel, and it was a David Bowie-inspired concert with an element of circus kind of included in it. It was pretty good. The guy's voice was great. He definitely evoked kind of a David Bowie sound. And the circus elements didn't really necessarily go so well as far as like tying a kind of general theme into it. It kind of felt a bit like, hey, I kind of can sound like David Bowie, and hey, I have these friends who can kind of do circus, let's do a show. It felt a little bit like that. There was a woman working with hoops who dropped them a couple of times. There were a couple of little mishaps. It also probably didn't help that it was the hottest day of the year that I saw this particular show. It was 102 degrees out. It was sweltering hot. And most of the shows here at Adelaide Fringe are in tents. So, I mean, very, very large tents with, you know, seating and whatnot. But it was extremely hot in the tent. And especially for people working with fire, it was probably a lot to handle. So it was fine. It was a good show. I'm glad I saw it. But it's not, it didn't, like, wow me. Then, as with every Fringe that I've been to with this company, I made sure to catch at least a couple performances of Baby Wants Candy. I've seen them twice now, and will most likely probably see them again before I leave. Baby Wants Candy is the fully improvised musical with a full band. They are the parent company of Thrones the Musical Parody, so a lot of the people who are in Baby are the writers of Thrones, and the producers of Baby also produce Thrones. So they are here as well with us. Most of the cast of Thrones, aside from me, is also in Baby Wants Candy. I'm the only one who doesn't do it. And so what they do is they take a suggestion of the title of a musical that's never been written before and then proceed to write a full-length, hour-long musical in front of you with a full band. So everything is improvised. The music, the songs, the dancing, everything is. And it's generally pretty incredible and kind of nuts to watch because you're thinking, okay, I get that like these people are improvisers and they're doing that. That's fine. But wait, they're doing counterpoint in a song, they're doing harmonies, and the band is improvising as well. How is this happening? So it's always very, very impressive to see it come together, and they're just, they're all so great. So I've seen two Baby Wants Candy performances, and the fun thing about Baby is that every time you see it, it's a different show, because it's a different different suggestion. They seem to, from what I've gathered, it seems like Australian audiences are real big on Harry Potter, so they've been getting a lot of Harry Potter-related suggestions and a lot of Donald Trump-related suggestions, which is, you know, who doesn't want more Donald Trump in their life? So one of the shows, for example, I saw was called Love Actually, Donald and Kim, which I think was the intention was they were saying it was Donald and Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il, but it ended up being Kim Kardashian, and she was running for the Democratic ticket, and they were having a debate. It was very funny. But like, for example, they had a suggestion, Taylor Swift in the Chamber of Secrets and things like they had a lot of Harry Potter stuff. So that was great, and I always enjoy seeing Baby Wants Candy. If you ever get the chance to see them, they are in Los Angeles, they are in Chicago, and they are occasionally in New York. They also present a show called Shamilton, which is more of a rap-based improvised musical, generally based on a historical figure. So I've only seen Shamilton once, but for example, the show that I saw was based on Shania Twain, and it was Shania Twain versus, I believe, Mark Twain, and it was like a Highlander thing where there could only be one Twain, and Mark Twain was trying to kill Shania Twain, and it was hilarious. So if you ever get the chance to check out Baby Wants Candy, highly, highly recommend it. Chris, my husband, who also co-hosts this show, is a member of Baby Wants Candy in Los Angeles, and they perform every Friday night at 7:30 at UCB Sunset. So if you have the chance, definitely check them out. They are fantastic to watch. Then I saw two shows in the same day, both by the same company. I had seen one of them before in Edinburgh 2 years ago, and the other show had been recommended to me by people I had done a show with 2 years ago in Edinburgh but didn't get around to seeing. So the company is called Darkfield, and what they do are really kind of immersive, sound-based plays. More of an experience rather than a play, but it's definitely has a narrative and a kind of a overarching feel to it. So the first show I saw was called Seance, and these shows are staged in, if you know what, like a shipping container, like a pod, they're basically in one of those. They generally only allow 20 to 25 people into each show for seating. And you go into this very, very small shipping container. You sit down, and for seance, there's this very long table with these lights on them, and there are headphones at every seat. So you sit down, you put on your headphones, they test to make sure that they're working, and then you are immersed into complete darkness. So seance, obviously, is about a seance, trying to contact people on the other side in the spirit world and whatnot. And it's if you've ever been to Disney back in the 90s or when MGM first kind of opened up and then became Hollywood Studios, at the Monster Sound Show, which was a kind of sound presentation, there were these things called the Sound Stations booths at the end of the attraction where you could kind of go in and put on headphones, and it felt like you were in like a 1940s story and getting a haircut. And basically it was just three-dimensional sound happening where if you closed your eyes, it really felt like people were walking around you or talking in your ear or blowing on your neck and things like that. So that's kind of what the basis of these two shows are. It's very much kind of immersive three-dimensional sound. Mixed with some effects and, of course, the darkness, so your imagination is allowed to just kind of run free. So seance, you sit down at this table and the lights go out and you have someone kind of walking, or feels like someone's walking behind you, talking about trying to contact the other side, and they ask you to place your hands on the table. And I don't want to give too much of what happens away, but it is very spooky. It is very immersive to the point that you sometimes lose sight of reality and forget for a moment the reality of that you're in a shipping container, which I think is, I mean, that's the best part of theater to me, is being able to just give in and accept the reality of what's being presented to you. So Darkfield is definitely a master at that. And they've been touring the Fringe circuit for a while with both one or both of these shows. So if there's a Fringe festival in your area and you happen to find out that Darkfield is going to be there, absolutely go. It is a very unique, very different and very exciting experience to kind of lose yourself in these little shipping containers. So the second show that I saw by Darkfield, I saw them back to back, is called Flight. And this one I had seen in Edinburgh 2 years ago, but wanted to kind of revisit because I had remembered it, but I wanted to see how much of it I remembered, especially after having just experienced Seance. I wanted to see how they compared. And Flight is, I think, a step up from Seance as far as the immersiveness and the feeling of this feels like I'm someplace else. You walk into, again, the shipping container, you kind of round a curtain, and suddenly you feel like you're on a plane. They have completely recreated the interior of half of the inside of a plane. So there are rows of seats, there are overhead cabins, everything. So your ticket is actually, looks like a boarding pass for a flight, and you take your seat, you buckle in, you're separated from the rest of your party. They put you next to strangers pretty much constantly. And once the show starts, you put on your headphones, and there are monitors throughout the cabin that show the flight attendant crew kind of giving the pre-check and all of that sort of speech. And again, then you are immersed into darkness as the flight takes off. And again, I don't want to give too much away about this piece because I think the surprise and the unknown of what's about to happen is such a huge part of it and such part of the thrill of it. But I will say that it is kind of based slightly and kind of toys with the idea of Schrödinger's cat, in that if something happens, you know, the reality of once you're inside that capsule of that plane, until the doors open again, you could be considered both alive and dead. And that's kind of all I'll say about it. But it is very immersive, and it is very spooky and off-putting, and they both have this feeling of danger about them, which is exciting. And, you know, they're both only 20 to 25 minutes long, so that's not a real time commitment as far as I'm going to be scared for an hour and a half. If you have a problem flying or you have fears of flying, maybe skip Flight and go see Seance. But they're both definitely worth checking out if you think you can handle it, and I think you can. Let's see, what else have I seen? Oh, I saw a two-man circus called You and I, which a lot of people had seen in Edinburgh last year, and I was unable to because it conflicted with the show that I was doing. But it's a two-man circus, and it's kind of a gay spin on circus. It's kind of gives a little story about a gay relationship, and I believe these two performers are in a relationship, and if not, they're faking it real well. But just a lovely little show. Not much to say about it because it's hard to describe circus when you can't see somebody. But they both are incredibly strong performers, both physically and charismatically wise. Charismatically, is that a word? Maybe. But yeah, it definitely worth seeing, and I enjoyed it. It's not something that, again, wowed me, kind of in the same vein as Rebel. I'm glad I saw it, but it's not something that I would rush out maybe to see again. Then what I would highly recommend, I saw a show yesterday called Circus Abyssinia, which is an Ethiopian group of circus performers, and they were fantastic. It was such a fun show, so much joy, so much excitement, and just the strength of these performers was remarkable. I'm going to post because we were allowed to film at that particular show, I'm going to post some clips, little videos that I had posted or had recorded on our Twitter. So that's Open Call Podcast on Twitter. I'm going to post a couple videos and some, maybe some photos, so you can get an idea of what kind of stuff I saw at Circus Abyssinia. But it was, they were remarkable. There's a girl that I did not get footage of who looked to be about maybe 12. She was very young, working with hoops. And at one point she had them going so fast that you kind of couldn't see the hoops anymore. They were just blurs. So really, really remarkable group, and just so much fun to watch. That's the thing I love the most about Fringe, I think, is you get to see so much from around the world and how people interpret things. And, you know, circus can be so many different things, and to see a group put their own individual stamp on it. And, you know, yes, a lot of the, there was jugglers, there were people working with hoops, there were aerialists. So it's stuff that you may have seen before, but their take on it or how they choose to present it can be so refreshing and so interesting. And it's such an inspiring thing to be at a Fringe, and especially an international Fringe festival, and see things from around the world and get to experience how people are working with their art and changing the face of it and putting their own individual stamps on it. And it's just, it's so inspiring, and it makes you want to get out and create something yourself. So that's really the best part about Fringe. And if you ever get a chance to go to a Fringe festival, I highly recommend it. It's just, you can see everything, and just everything from mime to stand-up comedy to improv to musical theater to circus. It's just everything under the sun in one place, arts-wise. And it can be inspiring and exciting and funny, and it just, it's the best experience ever. So that kind of wraps up for what I've been doing here. Adelaide is lovely. I've gone to the Botanical Gardens here, which is beautiful. I was able to go to the Adelaide Zoo. I pet a quokka, which, if you don't know what a quokka is, go look it up, because they're the cutest animals in the whole wide world. Then we went to an animal preserve called the Gorge Wildlife Preserve, which is about 45 minutes outside of Adelaide. A bunch of us from the cast and crew went. There were about 15 of us, and we all got to hold koalas, and we fed kangaroos, and it was one of the happiest days of my life, because I got to hold a koala, and her name was Lucy, and we're in a committed relationship now, because she's beautiful, and I love her. But that's my report from Adelaide. I get back next week, so we will be back. It will probably take me a couple of days to acclimate back to being in LA once we're there, but we will start doing our regular podcast from then on, Chris and I in the same place, being able to talk to each other rather than just do these kind of reports. But it's been wonderful, and I can't wait to get back home and see my honey, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
And there you have it. That's Eric's second and final Australia dispatch, because he'll be back in 5 days, and we'll have another episode for you next week. I did want to follow up on, I saw Flight as well, and I also do recommend Flight. I think it's very good. Did not get to see Seance. I was at Fringe, I believe two years ago, when Darkfield was doing Seance at Summer Hall in Edinburgh, and was a combination of, well, it's hard with those shows to say that you didn't get a chance to see them. So, like, you know, at Fringe, there's a lot of conflicts. You know, there's a lot of shows that you want to see that you just can't, because your show is at the exact same time as theirs. So you're just not going to be able to, unless you happen to schedule on your day off, you're going to go see that show. Oftentimes, your day off coincides with their day off, so you can't see their show ever. A show like Flight or Seance happens every, like, 20 minutes. Every day happens like 7 times a day for the whole Fringe. So it's a little disingenuous for me to say that I didn't ever find time in my schedule to see Seance. I was also a little bit scared of what it was going to be. And I'm sure I would have been creeped out as well. I also, Circus Abyssinia, I actually genuinely never got to see because of a time conflict last year. But we had lots of friends who did say it was great. And the video that Eric took actually does look pretty amazing. So they seem to be on the Fringe circuit. So there's a good chance that they'll be in your town at some point. I don't know where your nearest Fringe is, but I definitely recommend going to a Fringe festival near you. It's a great way to just see a lot of theater that just new ways of approaching theater and theatrical expression and people trying to, you know, think about what is theater in general. And, you know, there's a lot of misses and there's occasionally some really big hits. I think actually Nassim, a play that we both saw in Scotland, I think that might still be running in New York. If you are in New York City, you really need to see that. Other than that, we will be back with you next week with a full episode, like Eric mentioned. And until then, have a great week. See you.
It's Open Call with Eric and Chris.
That's me.
It's a show that you'll never want to miss. It's Open Call.